Okay, so have you ever been in that situation? You know, that new car, smell the excitement of driving off the lot. But did you ever actually like read that whole massive owner's manual?
Right.
What happens when something goes wrong?
Yeah.
And maybe just maybe there was some like crucial warning buried in all that fine print?
You know, it's so fascinating because this case that we're going to talk about really throws into sharp relief the responsibility of a company to warn you about potential dangers, and then also your responsibility as a consumer to actually consume that information.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're going to be unpacking today. Ford Motor Co. v. Rushford, this case that went all the way to the Indiana Supreme Court. So we're talking product liability, that whole idea of duty to warn, and really what it means for anyone who's ever like skimmed or maybe even skipped an instruction manual.
Yeah, we've got excerpts from legal analyses and the actual court documents, so we're going to dive really deep on this one.
Awesome. And this isn't just about one car accident, right?
Yeah.
This could have some serious implications for how companies design warnings in the future, how much responsibility sellers have to make sure that you actually understand the warnings and what you as a buyer need to be aware of as well.
Absolutely. The implications go way beyond just the automotive industry.
So let's set the stage a little bit.
Right.
This case is about Marilyn Rushford, a 70-year-old woman. And get this, she had never actually driven a car before in her life.
Wow.
She buys a Ford Focus, and tragically, the airbag deploys during an accident and severs her thumb.
Oh, that's awful. And this is where it gets interesting right off the bat because she sues both Ford, the manufacturer, and the dealership, Ebbe Ford Lincoln Mercury,
Well done.
claiming they didn't adequately warn her about the potential dangers of airbags.
Now, Ford did have warnings on the sun visor.
Yeah.
Those met federal standards, right?
Right.
The super detailed warnings, those were kind of tucked away in the owner's manual, which you guessed it.
Oh, no.
Ms. Rushford admitted she never read.
And this is where we get into this concept of federal preemption. And think of it like this. If there's a national speed limit set by the federal government, states can't just make up their own lower speed limits on their same roads.
Right.
It's a very similar principle here. Ford successfully argued that because their sun visor warnings met those federal standards that were set by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, any state-level claims about needing extra warnings on the visor were basically thrown out.
So Ford's off the hook for the visor warnings. But what about the dealership, AB? I mean, they're the ones who actually interacted with Mrs. Rushford. So where does their responsibility begin and end?
That's the crux of it. AB argued, hey, we provided the owner's manual that contained all the manufacturer's warnings just like we're supposed to. So we're essentially just the messenger here.
Like handing someone a sealed envelope. You're delivering it, but you're not responsible for what's actually written inside.
Yep.
But Rushford's lawyers, they countered with, hold on. Ebby knew this was a 70-year-old woman who'd never driven before. Maybe they had a duty to go above and beyond, like give her a verbal warning or even highlight some key sections in the manual or something.
Right. And that's where we get into this idea of the special circumstances exception.
Okay.
It's a legal concept that says, under very specific circumstances, a seller might have to do more than just pass along those manufacturer's warnings.
Interesting.
The question is, did those circumstances apply here?
Big question.
Big question.
So, did the court think that Ebby had like a special obligation to Ms. Rushford?
Well, this is where the court really drew a line in the sand. They acknowledged, yes, there are times when a seller might have to go above and beyond. Like, say, if they knew a product had been modified in a way that like made the original warnings inaccurate, or if they were aware of some hidden danger that the manufacturer hadn't even
So,
addressed.
like, if they'd sold her the Ford Focus knowing the airbags had been tampered with or something and were like super sensitive.
Exactly. But in this case, the court basically said Evie had no reason to believe that Mrs. Rushford wouldn't or couldn't read the manual. Her age and her being a new driver just didn't create those special circumstances for them.
But it makes you think, though, what if sellers did have to highlight every single warning for every single buyer?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine the chaos?
Oh, it would be a mess. And that's actually what's so interesting about this ruling. The court seemed to really prioritize practicality and efficiency. They didn't want to bog down businesses with a burden that could be so time-consuming and subjective.
Yeah, because then where do you draw the line? If a seller has to explain every single warning, does that mean they have to like quiz you on it too to make sure you understand? It just gets messy so fast.
Yeah, you're right. And it gets at this huge philosophical question, like how much responsibility does the company have to practically force you to understand the risks versus how much of that responsibility falls on us as consumers to do our due diligence, even if it's not the most fun thing in the world.
Especially because, let's be honest, Those warnings are often written in like super dense legalese crammed onto tiny labels. They're not exactly user-friendly.
You're telling me. And that's actually the big picture takeaway here. This case wasn't just about Mrs. Rushford and her accident. It set a precedent for where those lines of responsibility really fall. And the court ultimately said, unless there are very specific provable reasons to think otherwise, sellers are mainly responsible for providing the warnings, not necessarily making sure that you as a consumer fully understand them.
So it's a wake-up call to all of us as consumers. We might not love reading those manuals, but this case really emphasizes how important it is to at least try and understand the warnings that come with the things we use every single day.
100%. Because if something does go wrong, not knowing those warnings, even if they're presented poorly, probably won't be a winning legal argument.
All right, so let's recap what we've learned from Ford Motor Co. v. Rushford, because this has implications for way more than just car dealerships.
Totally. So first, it really reinforces the idea that in most situations, sellers are like messengers. They deliver the warnings, but they're not like guaranteeing that you're going to read them.
Gotcha. And then second, that special circumstances exception, where a seller might have to do more. That's a really high bar to clear legally. You would need pretty solid evidence to prove they knew or reasonably should have known something that required them to go above and beyond.
Exactly. And this leads us to a really interesting question, something to think about as we move through this increasingly complex world filled with so many products and all the risks that come with them.
So as technology keeps getting more and more advanced, all these products we use are getting even more complex. How do we make sure that those warnings are actually effective? Is a big old manual enough? Or do we need to think about some completely new way of talking about risks?
Yeah, that's a really good question to consider. I mean, what if you could have interactive warnings or even personalized ones? Or what if they were delivered through augmented reality? I mean, maybe that's the future of how we handle product safety.
I have a feeling lawyers would have a field day with that.
Oh, absolutely. But I think what's clear from the Ford Motor Company Rushford case is that this whole debate about warnings and responsibility and consumer safety, it's definitely not going away anytime soon.
Yeah, it really feels like we're all kind of figuring this out as we go.
Yeah.
But this case definitely gives us some helpful guidance, almost like a roadmap for navigating these really complicated issues.
I think that's a great way to put it. And, you know, as technology keeps changing and as we see how consumer behavior changes, the law is going to have to keep adapting, right? Who knows what kind of crazy product liability case we'll be talking about next?
That's what makes this stuff so interesting, right? It's not just about like dry legal concepts. It's about how those concepts actually play out in real-world situations, things that could affect any one of us.
Exactly. And Ford Motor Co. v. Rushford is a perfect example of that. It raises questions that go way beyond just one case, one person, one car accident. It makes us really think about our own behavior as consumers, the responsibilities that companies have, and how the law is trying to keep up with this world that's changing so quickly.
Well said. Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Ford Motor Co. v. Rushford. We hope you learned something new, or at least maybe you'll look at those product warnings a little differently now. We'll be back next time with another fascinating legal case and what it means for all of us. Until then, stay curious.